Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Dear God, I just thank you, dear God, for who you are in our lives, oh God. I pray, dear God, that you would allow us to be open to this message, oh God. Dear God, that lives would be impacted and changed by the word of God. Dear God, that we would focus on you. Dear God, as you've given me this title, loving God or liking God, allow it to be clear to us what we are doing so that we could love you more. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as I was in prayer, God has actually been revealing a lot of things to me. He's been saying little things and saying, hey, okay, Keith, this time, today I want you to be attentive to the Spirit of God throughout all times of the day. Now, that day I went to go take my car in, and I remember God said that, and I saw the place I was taking it in. I didn't feel comfortable, you know, and I was like, I don't know, man. So what I ended up doing was I just asked somebody else that was getting their car fixed. Now, his car that was supposed to be fixed wasn't fixed that day, right? So he had to come back. They was like, we'll be back. And I was like, man, well, he said it's good, so I'm going to leave it. So to make a long story short, they come tell me something different with my car. And I was like, man, I knew I wasn't supposed to go there. I felt it in my spirit. But as he's training me, you know, how many of you know we have to be trained in the Spirit of God? We got to be trained to know what it means. Like being attentive to the Spirit of God during the day, sometimes we can be overwhelmed with our feelings, right? And then sometimes we say, that's just how I'm feeling. But as God has been revealing to me, he's been speaking things to me. Some things he's telling me, and throughout the day, I go through it, and then I'm like, dang, I failed that test. I'm sorry, God. I remember you told me to be patient today. So when I get to my car and it's not starting and all this stuff, he told me to be patient. But as I was in prayer a couple of weeks ago, God asked me, do you love me or do you like me? And I was like, wow. Now, you know, when God asks you a question, it's just not of course, God, I love you. You can't get off with those answers, right? when Jesus even asked Peter, do you love me? It wasn't just a yes or no answer. See, the cool thing about when God asks you a question, it requires action, right? If he asks you, do you love me? It requires you to show action. And he was saying, Marquise, you have to get past yourself. You can't be so focused on yourself. You got to love your family. You got to love your kids. And as God has been saying this to me, there's been many people that God is just bringing in my path, and they're like, I don't know where it's at. The other mic. I think mom has it. But as different people have been coming in my pathway, God has been using this same thing. Do you love God or do you just like God? And with that being said, we have to ask ourselves, do we love God? Somebody say, do I love God? All right, now it's more than just saying, yes, God, I love you. It's more than that. As we were in Bible study, we were here. You remember the lady came in? She was broken. She gave her life to God. She got to a place where she no longer liked the things of the world. But now she has to get to a place where she loves God. Or she'll go back to the world, right? Now, also, this brother, man, and it's funny how God just confirms his word. What day was that? That was the day after, which was Wednesday. I had a brother call me that we ministered to at the clubs about a year and a half ago. Sometimes we stand outside the club, play our music, and just wait for a divine appointment. Now, this guy, he was real telling us a whole bunch of made-up stories about who he was and all that. And we were like, okay, sure, you know, but do you know who God is? And he was like, well, I know who you guys are. I know, you know, and I was like, do you know who God is? And you know how sometimes when people don't want to hear that, they just don't answer the question, you know. he did that. And this was a year and a half ago. So he calls me up today or last Wednesday and he said, man, I want to get you on this song. I want to get you on this song. And he was like, the hook goes like this. Lord, I want to change some things. He said something about for my family, for my friends. Lord, I want to change some things. And as soon as he said that, the Spirit of God told me he's ready to really change something. And unfortunately, he's not here right now. He's in Houston. But as I talked to him, God allowed me to lead him to the Lord and Savior. He said he grew up in church and he knew a lot about God. But then the same thing that God told me, he said, do you love God or do you just like God? And we're going to find out what the differences are. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, verse 28 and 30. One thing that God is really repetitive of is saying that he wants all of us. Amen? 99.9% in the kingdom of God is not good enough. Now, you can give 99.9% at your job, right? I mean, that's 0.01%. You could give it to your family, your kids. But if you give that to God and you don't go all the way out for God, that shows that you don't love God. Amen? Let's see what this says. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. I'm in the NIV right now. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. And with how much of your soul? All of your soul. And with all of your mind and with all of your strength. We see that. See, Jesus could have just said with all of your heart, but he knows that the heart is more than just the heart of a man that moves a man, right? We have our hearts, and today, you know, people don't say, really, I put my whole heart into it too much. They put all their strength. But Jesus said, love God with all that you have, whether it's your mind, whether it's your body, whether it's your soul, whether it's your strength. You use all of that to show that you love God. And when what we see today is a lot of people that like God. Let me tell you what the difference is. When you love God, it's like a boyfriend. Well, let me explain like this. It's like a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. How many of us ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend? All right. Now, with that boyfriend or girlfriend, since it's all fellas in here, with that girlfriend, if she did something that you didn't like, what did you do? You left her, right? Because it was just a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. We see this all the time. If somebody's dating somebody and they do something that they don't like, they leave them. That's because they only like them. But when you look at a husband and a wife relationship, the way that it's supposed to be, now I know there was a big marriage not yesterday, or what day was that? Yesterday, Princess Diana's son. Now, I'm going to say something about that wedding, that if the royal people were here, they might not like it. But they took out certain vows. They said they took out love you unconditionally. And it's basically they had a like ceremony. They didn't have a love ceremony. They took out certain things because they figured that they wouldn't be able to keep that. Right? Now, it's better for them to oath that than oath what a real marriage is supposed to be, because a lot of people, they're getting divorced a lot anyways, right? But when you are a husband and a wife, you are supposed to love unconditionally. So if your wife tells you something that you don't like or she does something that you don't like, you don't just leave because you love her, right? There's a difference between a boyfriend and a girlfriend relationship and a husband and a wife relationship. And that key word is commitment, right? We're supposed to be committed. Now, as I said, we have to do a better job, even as a church, of showing our commitment to our spouses, to our God, and let the world know that there's a difference between the way we are getting married and the way that they are getting married. But when it all comes down to it, it requires a huge commitment. Let's go to John 15, chapter 15, verse 7, I'm sorry. And we're going to see the commitment that I'm talking about. John 15, verse 7, it says this. Excuse me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I'm going to stop right there. Now, what we keep hearing is remain, remain, remain. What does it mean to be remain? To stay. Stay in me is what this scripture is saying. Jesus is speaking of how we need to stay in God. And it also talks about some other things in those scriptures that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But what we have to understand is a Christian does not, if there's no commitment in being a Christian, it's not a good thing. It doesn't work for you. It requires us to remain in God, remain grafted in him, remain under his laws, to obey him, as the word said. As soon as we stop remaining in God, we start liking God. Okay? As soon as we say, hey, the scripture says, my body is a temple. Man, I don't need that. This is my body. As soon as you start doing that and taking God's word and trying to reconfigure it so it fits you, you no longer love God, you like God. And God don't want people liking him. It's all right. It's all right to like people, but when it comes to God, you have to love God. That shows what your commitment is. Another thing is we make time for the things or the people that we love, right? If we love to do something, I know you love to play the guitar. It's not like a coincidence. I know he just loves the guitar. So you take the guitar everywhere you go, right? Just about because you love playing the guitar. Right. Now, let me ask you this. What instrument do you just like? Just give me one. All right. So you like the trumpet, but you don't love it like you love the guitar. So you might not bring the trumpet with you as much. But I'm just saying right now, you don't take the trumpet with you as much as you take your guitar. All right. Now, when we see some of the things that we do in life, the things that we love or the people we love, we make time to be with them. The things that we like, let me look at my watch. I don't have time for that today. I would like to do it, but I just really can't do it today. What does that say? We like those things, and it's a whole nother priority level, right? Now, when it comes to God, if we love God, we got to make time to spend with God. Right? Jesus, no matter what went on. See, look, let me tell you something. You guys remember when Jesus walked across the water? You know why he walked across the water? Because he loved to spend time with God. They left on the boat. He was like, I'm going to go pray. So, you know, after he prayed, he was like, I don't got no way to get over there. You know, I wonder what happened with how Jesus started walking on the water. Just imagine that. He just, let me just walk across here and beat them guys. I mean, he almost beat them if somebody didn't see him and say, oh, look at that. Who's that on the water? Right? But what we see is Jesus loved to spend time with God, even at the risk of missing his boat. Jesus loved God so much in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, God, even if I can't do this, he's about to get killed. Jesus knows this, right? Now, how many of us would just be sitting in prayer in some garden when somebody's coming after us? Man, we on a highway pursuit, man. You ain't gonna catch me, right? That's our mindset, right? We putting the pedal to the metal. I'm crossing Canada's border. I'm going back through Mexico. I'm gonna do whatever I can so that they cannot catch me. Jesus sat still because he said, hey, I love God so much, it doesn't matter what's gonna happen to me. I'm gonna commit my time to be with God. That's about loving God. And when God started speaking this to me, I was like, dang, okay, God, I understand what you're trying to tell me. So I got to get up now. This morning, I was up at 6 o'clock. I couldn't go back. Well, actually, I got up because the Spirit of God was waking me up. How many know the Spirit of God will wake you up? Not your alarm clock, because sometimes the Spirit of God don't come when your alarm clock comes. But he was like, get up, get up. And I was like, hold up, God, give me 5 more minutes. Right? You know how we do sometimes. But as he keeps on saying, get up, get up, we get up out of bed. And this is a Saturday morning. I wasn't watching no Saturday morning cartoons. I was in prayer. And as I was praying, he began to reveal himself to me in a whole nother level. Do you know that when you love God, it says that he will show you more of him? Some people don't even know too much about God because they don't love him. They just want to escape from hell. That's when I first got saved, that's all I wanted. God, I don't want to go to hell. I was 7 years old. Every time that I had the lights on low, I had a TBN on, and they were like, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. And I was repenting. I was like, Lord, I don't want that. They scared hell away from me. Amen. But we must work at loving God. It's not automatic. Say that. It's not automatic. See, when you like something, you can do it sometimes in your life, turn it off, or no, I'm going to come back to, I really like this. But when you love something, you can't go without it. Right? Now, check it out. We love food. Whether you say it, you do or not, you love food. And let me tell you why. If you don't get food, you get an attitude. You get angry. You start doing all kinds of things, right? Because this is something that we love. This is why it's important that we fast from these things to show that our love for food is not better than our love for God. That's why we surrender and do these things. It's not just so we can say, I didn't eat for 30 days. I lost 5 pounds. That's not what the goal of fasting is. It's to show that you love God more than you love to eat. Or whatever you fasting from. If it's music, sometimes I fast from music because I love music. There's not a day that I go without playing some music on my iPhone, in the system, somewhere. I'm going to play music. So what I had to do is I had to fast from music. Because sometimes what happens is the things that we love so much, guess what? They become idols in our lives. The first commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart. Thou shalt not have any more gods before me or any other gods before me. The whole scripture, Jesus basically summed all the Ten Commandments up with that scripture: love the Lord your God with all your heart. So what we see is when we don't love God with all our heart, we begin to place up idols in our lives. And then God is just another thing that we like. We see that the Israelites, they liked God. Some of them love God. Joshua loved God. Can we say that? Well, I mean, I was just saying, hey, can we say that? Not, that wasn't. But Joshua loved God. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you guys are going to do over there in building number 3. But as for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord. That showed that he loved God. And God showed him different things that he didn't show to other Israelites. It's just like Moses. Moses loved God. He spent so much time with God. His face was neon. It was glowing. And the people didn't want to be around him. They was like, what's wrong with your face? And he was like, I've just been with God. But what we see is some of the Israelites didn't love God. So they started pursuing after other idols. They just started liking God, like, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool when he did that and we crossed the Red Sea. You remember that? Yeah, that was dope. Yeah, I like God. It's like a Facebook like. Now, I guess some of us don't have Facebook, right? So when you like something on Facebook, that don't mean that you love them. It's just like, oh, I'm going to support what they're doing. But some of us are starting to support some of the things that are ungodly. Let's go to Jonah. This is my feature scripture, as I like to call them. Chapter 1. Yep, verse 1. We're going to read this whole book. I'm going to go through it real quick. Why you laugh? Ezekiel, Daniel, Jose. There we go. Let me read this real fast. It says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Good Lord. They loved those names, didn't they? Go to the city of Nineveh, the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it because its wickedness has come before me. Let's look at that. They don't love God there. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship board for that port. After paying that fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship. Now let's look at this. They started throwing stuff they liked, right? They didn't throw the stuff they loved. But what we can see is this. At this moment in time, Jonah didn't love God. He liked them. How can we see this? Because he was like, go there, God? I got other plans. I'm going on vacation. That's what he said, right? Well, he probably didn't say vacation, but you know. Let's keep on going. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you be asleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lots fell on Jonah. Now, don't start casting lots. I don't believe in that. That's the Holy Spirit does now. We can get discernment, wisdom, as my dad been talking about. But let's keep going. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them and they asked, what have you done? Now look at this. When you don't love God, people around you, when you're supposed to be loving God, they say, man, something is up. What's going on? You're supposed to, and they don't know what it is, but they're like, man, it's just not right. How many of us have seen people that used to be living for God go live in the world? they have to try so hard to fit in. They can't fit in. So they do the worst that they can possibly do because they're not supposed to be there. And not only are they not supposed to be there, the people that are around them know that they're not supposed to be there. So what happens is they're like, man, dang, what's going on? That's because they begin to stop loving God. They start liking God. Let's keep on going. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At that time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. See, this is the cold thing about when you start to turn your life around, the people that you were doing things with, when they see that, hey, his God is for real, what happens is it transforms their life. That's how important it is for each and every one of us to truly love God. Because when we truly love God, the world gets to see, dang, there's something different about that person over there. Mr. Franklin, he's at his job and he doesn't do all the stuff we do. They notice that stuff, right? If they're like, hey, let's go on a smoking break. You want to go? No. Oh, why he doesn't do that? Well, he's a Christian. I heard he's a Christian. You know, they're talking about y'all. Did you know that? They talk about you. But let's keep it going. It said, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2 talks about Jonah repenting in a well. Chapter 3 talks about Jonah getting there and preaching the message that God told him to preach. Now, at this time, you would think, Jonah, oh, he's loving God now, right? But chapter 4, Jonah starts liking God again. Okay? Now, how do we see this? Because he gets mad at God for something that God did. He got mad because they started to turn their life around. And actually, these people turned their life around, but Nineveh, after a while, they got demolished anyway because they went back to doing their old thing, right? So God's grace spared that generation, but hey, that generation loved God. But when you just start liking God, the crazy thing about when you just start liking God, you begin to remove yourself from God's covering. I'm reading this book by John Bevere right now, and it just talks about some of the things that happen when you no longer love God. You like God, so when God's word tells you to do some things, when it's one of the things that it tells us to do is to submit to God's will, and we submit to our own will. Do you know that's actually the first commandment of the Satanists? People that follow satanic worship is to do whatever you want to do. That's their first commandment. So when we start to do what we feel like doing, we're doing exactly what the Satanist people are doing. And we don't think it's that big a deal. I just didn't go to church because I felt like not going. I just didn't feel like praying because I felt that what you're doing is the same thing that the people who don't follow Jesus do. And some do it blindly and some do it on purpose. And that's what this book was saying. It says some of them, what happens is when people join these groups, they tell them to sin, do a whole bunch of sins, because it gives them access to the enemy to go into their lives. Now, check it out. When we as Christians don't love God, we begin to like God and we begin to do what we feel like we want to do, we're giving the enemy access into our life. But when you love God, you're going to obey his commandments. Amen. Let's go to 1 John 5, 1, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, 1, verse 4. And this is just continuing on obedience. We have to show our obedience to God. Obedience is a direct way to show that you love God. Disobedience is a way to tell God you really don't need him. Okay? How many believe that? When you disobey God, you show God, hey, I don't really need you. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They were like, God told us not to eat this tree, but man, this snake told me, yo, I can know what God knows. If I know what God knows, that means I don't need him. The whole thing with Satan, when he wanted to be like God, he was like, I don't need God. I could do it myself. All he does is sit there and get worshiped. I could do that. And he got lightning butt kick. He was out. But it says like this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commandments. Somebody say, this is love for God, to obey his commandments. How clear is that? It's in the word of God. It says it clear as daylight. This is love, to obey his commandments. We have a job to do, and that's to obey what he is saying. And this, check it out. And it says this, and his commandments are not burdensome. That means it's not hard to do it when you love God. Okay? But when you don't love God, it's like, oh, man, he's telling me to give that up. Are you serious? I feel good when I do that. Once again, you're saying, hey, I don't need you, God. I could do it on my own. And you move yourself from his covering. It says this, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Once again, obedience shows our love for God. When we disobey, it shows that we don't need God. When we only like God, we do whatever is convenient for ourselves. Ask yourself, do you love God? Say, do I love God? Hallelujah. To love God, we have to also understand the sacrifices that he did for us, right? Now, as the dude that called me on the phone this week, he was like, hey, he wanted to surrender his life. The thing that I told him to go read after that, I said, go read the Gospels. Go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he was like, man, I read that before, but I don't remember what it was all about. You know, and I was like, that's why I want you to go read it so you can be refreshed on what Jesus did for you. When you start to, none of us can go watch The Passion of Christ several times and just be like, that was a great movie. No, because we understand that that's something that Jesus did for us. For every sin that we committed, he was getting whipped on his back. For every lie that we committed, he was getting nailed to the cross. For everything that he did it for you. When you understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, you begin to say, hey, I gotta love this guy. I gotta love him because he did all that for me. Now, we got people that don't know what love is, so we see people that are in relationships that are ungodly, and that person might buy them a diamond necklace or something, and they're like, oh, I just love him. And he can do whatever he wants to them because they don't understand the real sacrifice of love. The word of God said Jesus laid down his life. There's no greater sacrifice than that. And once we understand the sacrifice that he made, we have to put him higher than anything else in our lives. Amen? That's a part of loving God. We push him higher than even ourselves. Now, that's the one of the hardest things for us to do is die to ourselves. And as I said earlier, the enemy knows that. So the enemy is trying to make you live for yourself. But let's go to 1 John 2, verse 15. Let's get it in at this scripture. Don't love the world. Somebody say, don't love the world. It says, do not love the world or anything in it. The world is what it meant. So, first of all, let's stop right there. We're not supposed to love the world or anything in that, because it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think this is pretty clear again. There is many Christians who begin to love the world. They love to be with their friends. Oh, if I could just be with this guy over here, man, that's just going to make my life so awesome. If I could, and God is saying, hey, hello, I told you don't love the world. Do you know that's the whole reason why Israel got placed in slavery and all those things? Because they stopped loving God. They loved the world. They loved the world so much that they wanted a king like the world. God was like, man, I'm your king. And they kept asking, we want a king. We want a king. You know what God will do? He'll let you get what you want. And the devil's sure going to give it to you if it can get you away from God. But it says this, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now we see that it flipped. It took a whole nother word in there. It said the will of God, who does the will of God. That shows that you love God. We got to get to a place where we're making sure, hey, I'm not no longer going to be a liking God person. Like if Jesus had a Facebook, we all might like him. Right? People that got all kind of pictures, they're going to like Jesus, but God is requiring us to love him. That means we got to do the will of him who has sent us. Let's go to 1 John 4, right next door. Verse 16, it says this. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Once again, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. All right, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. That's one reason why we should love God, because he first loved us, right? The word of God says, while we were still sinners, Christ died because he loved us. But it also says this, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Loving God begins to transform our lives with the people that we are around. Now, when the word says brother all the time, it don't mean like your natural brother, right? It means a male or female sister. Usually the word was the pretty generic. Now, we don't have brothers that are girls. We shouldn't have those, but you guys understand what I'm saying. But let's look at why some people don't love God. And I'm pretty much be closing in a second. But let's look at some of the reasons why people do not love God. Because we are in the last days. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And this is because people are lovers of things and not God. That's what begins to happen. It takes your love. Do you know that the devil wants your love? And the cold thing about the devil is you don't have to love him. He just don't want your love to be with God. Amen. It's just like this. The devil doesn't, he doesn't want you to worship God. You can worship any and every other thing, and he's like, oh, I get the credit. Because as long as it's not God, he's happy. But let's see this. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. This is why people don't love God, because people will be lovers of themselves. Somebody say themselves. There's a lot of people that love themselves. Lovers of money. Man, how many people would do anything for money? You give them $1 million, they'll change who they are. I gotta be that. That's because they love money. Now look, I've had opportunities to get some money from some people that would be good at that time, and I'm like, nah, I don't do that. Why? Man, you're hating. I don't love money like that. It doesn't matter to me. But I like money, right? It could get a Facebook like from me, but I love God, so I don't love money. The Word of God clearly says you can't love both. You'll be torn between the two. But it also says lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Wow, is that in the Bible? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. So everything bad they love. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with them. This is actually referring to people that go to church. Right? Having a form of godliness. Oh, yeah, they do everything that the people in church do. They stand up and sing to God. And, oh, that's so wonderful. God, I felt good after I worshiped God. But then they go back and start loving those other things again. And the love of God is not in them. And they don't love God. They are kind. They are the kind who worm their way into houses and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. I know some people we've said the same thing over and over and they don't get it, because they are lovers of not God, but all these other things. They don't love God. So when you don't love God, he won't even reveal himself to you. Think about that. Just as Yannis and Yambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as their faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. When you don't love God, it says you will be an example to the believers of which way not to go. It says their folly will be clear to everyone. That's why some people don't love God, because they're so caught up in this world, in the cares of this world. Now, that if we love God, does that mean that we can't love our families? No, because the Word of God said love our brothers, right? But it don't say love money. Money is not bad, but loving money is bad. My last scripture I want to read is John chapter 12, verse 41. And it says this. John chapter 12, verse 41. Hallelujah. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogues. For they loved praise from men. Somebody say men. more than praise from God. This is another reason. People love to be applauded in life. Is that a word, applauded? They love the applause. If I do something and people are not excited about it, then dang, I must have did something wrong. Our whole focus is wrong. We should be living to please God first and foremost. And even if nobody else is pleased by it, we should be satisfied. Right? When you know what you are called to do, now I know you do a lot of street ministry, right? Now, everybody that you talk to on the street, they don't like it. They be like, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You dummy. They'll say all kinds of things, and some things I can't say in the church. Hallelujah. But they say all these things, but what you do? You say, hey, it doesn't matter to me. I'm here to please God. So I'll come back. I'll be back tomorrow to tell you the same thing. Because they love God more than they love the applause of people. There's a lot of people, even in the church, that love the applause of people. So they do things for men. They'll sing a song and keep on singing it because the people are like, oh, we love it. And God ain't in any of that. But what God requires is that you love him. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that this word would resonate in our spirits, oh God, that we would begin to love you more than anything in this world, oh God. God, forgive us for loving the world and the things in this world, for being caught up in some of these things that take our attention, dear God, from not spending time with you. God, we want to love you. We want you to be pleased with us so that when we come and we enter into heaven, you can say, well done, good and faithful servant, for I knew you. Lord, we want to know you more. And Jesus, we pray, dear God, that you would just allow not this word to be taken away, but it would be planted on good ground, dear God, and yield forth a hundredfold fruit, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.